What is working today, right now, in today's marketplace? Welcome back to another episode of All or Nothing in Real Estate. I'm your host, Matt Smith, the founder of All or Nothing in Real Estate. As a reminder, this podcast is a movement to give back to this amazing industry that has given so much to me and my family. Guys, I know there's been a couple of remakes recently, and I hope you guys understand. There's a couple reasons for that. Number one is your boy's been a little busy, traveling, going to events, speaking. And on top of that, there's tremendous value in those episodes if you go back and re-listen. A lot of that came from, honestly, coaching calls and conversations that I have with the pulse on the industry, both with my agents and with the team leaders that I have the privilege of coaching. I believe I'm at, I think, 16 or 17 team leaders I'm coaching right now. And there's some commonalities in a lot of their problems, struggles, triumphs, things that they're overcoming. And a lot of them are broken down in some principles and the lessons that I've shared in the remastered episode. So there's a method to the madness. But today we've got a live show for you. And so I wanted to keep with that theme because one of the things that's important to me is that the things I share are real, relevant, and they are right now. Real, relevant, and right now. Not, hey, this worked 5 years ago, or back in my day, this is what I used to do. What is working today, right now, in today's marketplace? So this is both in my business and in the organizations that I coach. And so I thought, how about I just go back and do kind of a review of what I've been talking about in my coaching calls. And so I'm not going to give you names, but I just want you to know these are high level individuals that are winning at the highest levels right now. And so both are, we're going to unpack some of the challenges they're facing, what we talked about on our call, what they're implementing, and maybe some of the results that they're getting. And maybe there's some things that you can resonate with. So without further ado, let's dive in. All right. So one of the things that's been a common theme has been onboarding. Matt, what's your onboarding look like? What does your onboarding look like? Because as you know, my belief is recruiting solves all problems. And so I'm going to give you a quick onboarding framework that I've been sharing with my coaching clients that we use in our business that when they've replicated, it works really, really, really well. So part of this, just so you know, it came from me listening to other amazing coaches, team leaders, what they do for onboarding. And then I've combined that with what we are doing at a high level. And I believe that this is a onboarding framework that can work and is working in most businesses, but can work more importantly in any business. So there's a three-step framework. Number one, pre-onboarding. Anything that is not productive action needs to be done prior to day one. Meaning, I believe onboarding should start before onboarding. Let me go deeper. If you're not onboarding in groups, you're doing it wrong. You need to onboard in groups, one to many. Really, really important. And then you always have an onboarding date to recruit to. So when you have your recruiting conversations, you can check in and see if they're ready for the next onboarding date, which is coming up in 2 weeks or whatever it may be. And so there's a lot of psychology there. So pre-onboarding, get rid of all the paperwork, all the things that aren't action. Number two is boot camp. Right now, our boot camp, we're constantly pivoting, as you guys know, as the market changes, evolves. And so our boot camp right now is 1 week. There's three things we're looking for inside of a boot camp. We're indoctrinating them into our culture, meaning are they good core value fit? Do they understand who we are, what we stand for, why we exist? And more importantly, are they willing to uphold who we are and bring in the energy, uphold and improve the culture and environment that we already have? My belief is culture is either getting better or worse each and every day. And I want to bring in people that are going to help make it better. And so that's step one. Number two is indoctrinate them into the subculture. Well, Matt, what's a subculture? Well, here's what subculture is. Subculture is this little thing that a lot of team leaders have that keep them small because they want to protect their culture. Culture protection mode is just another way of saying, I don't want to grow because it's scary. Here's the reality. Culture is either getting better or it's getting worse each and every day. But when you go into culture protection mode, what it's really saying is that you've surrendered and you are allowing your culture to get a little bit worse each and every day. That's what you're really saying. Another thing is, well, Matt, you don't understand, my culture is different. I promise I do understand. And here's the reality. If you, people say they want to recruit to their culture, and I get it, because culture is first for me. And I think it should be for you too. But I think so many people misunderstand it. And you're trying to recruit your culture. So what that means, you're going to recruit to your problems. Let me explain. I want you to get a whiteboard. And I want you to list all the things that you wish you could add, you could remove, you could change, or you could improve to your culture. It'll take you a while to write all those, right? Because no culture is perfect. Now, pick the one thing of all that list of everything you wrote down that's the most important, is going to move the needle. Now recruit people to that. And in most cases, the common theme is going to have to be around conversations with buyers and sellers inside of the database. Real estate always has been and always will be a contact sport. You need to have conversations with buyers and sellers. So let's dive deeper on that. What is the activity, not the result, the activity that you want to indoctrinate into your culture? Right now in our environment, really simple, 500 dials in bootcamp. What about the conversations? What about the results? I'm not worried about the outcome yet. I want to indoctrinate activity and I want to teach process. I want them to fall in love with the process and I want them to realize this is bootcamp and it's supposed to be hard. You're going to fall on your face. You're going to get hung up on, etc. So that's number two is bootcamp. That's number two is indoctrinating the culture of bootcamp. And number three inside of bootcamp is I want them to learn the basics of sales. That means learning how to use the CRM, learning talk tracks, scripts, and dialogues, and learning the basics of presentation. And then they pass a test on scripts and they pass a test on presentation. And they understand the basics of the CRM. That's it. Nothing else happens. What I used to do is try to cram in all the training in 2 weeks in a boot camp. You learn how to use the MLS, dot loop, learn how to write a contract, learn the under contract process, learn marketing, learn everything. Let's just fire hose them with everything. What I realized is I was spending a lot of time training people that they're not going to retain it because it's so much at once. And number two, training people that don't have what it takes to make it. So I'm looking for activity first. I'm looking for a good culture fit. Are you willing to do the activity that's required? And can you learn the basics of sales? The best thing that can happen in boot camp is you set an appointment and you don't know what to do. I can help you with that. But being so prepared for the appointment, knowing exactly how to write a contract, exactly how to use the MLS, exactly how to use dot loop, and you won't pick up the phone, you're not going to make it. So let's focus on the right behaviors first in boot camp. Then you graduate boot camp. We have a 90-day onboarding. 90-day onboarding. We meet twice a week, every week, and we go more in depth on the training. And that's where we teach you real estate. That's where we add in all the classes so you can learn everything. But it's over 90 days, not in a week. And it's experiential learning. You learn it as you are doing. We sprinkle in some workshops, we sprinkle in Q&A, and we sprinkle in accountability because we have metrics at 30, 60, and 90 days that are required for you to move on. So that's the basics of onboarding. A reminder on onboarding is it all starts with the interview. At any time you have a conversation with an agent and you can't go back to the interview to remind them of the original agreement in the onboarding or in the interview, that's a chance for you to improve your interview process. You see, an interview isn't about features and benefits and trying to beg people to sign and join you. An interview is setting proper expectations of what it takes to win. Here's what I'm going to do. Here's what you're going to do. You can always revisit that throughout the relationship that you have with the agent. All right. Let's see what else. Here's what's winning. Leaders that are stepping into their power as a leader. Instead of leading from personality, they're leading from principle. They are stepping into their power and they're leading through standards and they're leading through expectations and clarity. That's what's winning. really sexy, right? But the reality is most people get stuck and they don't know how to do that. And that's where we spend a lot of our time on our coaching calls, going in depth on how to take your power back as a leader and how to actually realize how to orchestrate that and how to develop the leadership language so that people are asking for it and they appreciate it. And that's where everybody wins. But you being a helper instead of a leader doesn't help anyone. You're just enabling their excuses and their continued reasons on why they can't win. And that's, they don't need that right now. People don't need a helper. They need a leader. Step up, be the leader that they need. Be the leader and be honest and clear about the expectations of what the marketplace requires for them to win. It's really simple. It's not easy. All right. What else did we go over? So let's see. Oh, here's a good one. When's the last time on your agent roster you went over a top, middle, bottom exercise? I made a post on this, so I'm going to go super in-depth. Go look at my social media to learn more and more about this, top, middle, bottom. I kind of broke down of what this looks like. But break down the last 12 months production of your agents and break it in thirds. So the top third of production, the middle third, and the bottom third. And here's why it's important. It allows you to meet your agents where you are, where they are, sorry. It allows you to meet your agents where they are. So as an example, there's going to be commonalities that you find in your top third. There's going to be commonalities that you find in your middle third, and there's going to be commonalities you find in your bottom third. And a lot of times those aren't the same problems or same issues. And so if you know who's top, who's middle, who's bottom, it helps you as a leader help solve their problems. Here's what I've realized the top performers want. You need the conversation you have with them is, do you want more time or more money? Most top performers want more money, or sorry, want more time. So how can you and the team that they chose to be a part of, or the brokerage or the leader they chose to be a part of, help them leverage themselves to create more time? That's where you can provide tremendous value. Don't make the mistake of thinking they're a top performer. They just want to be left alone. They need help. If you leave them alone, they will leave you. I'm not saying micromanage. I'm saying help them, support them. Middle is you coach them up, or you create a safe environment for them to stay where they are. I call the middle the movable middle. This is where your money is made. The more people you have in the middle, the more healthy, the more sustainable, and the more risk averse, I think is the proper way to say it, better situation is for you as the team leader. Meaning that the more people you have in the middle, the less you are a flight risk of significant changes happening in your organization. And that's where your money is made, the movable middle. But don't just assume, like I used to, well, they're in the middle and they're doing two homes a month. I know they can do four, so I'm going to help them get to four. What if they don't want four? Create a safe space that allows them to stay at two. Do you want more agents that are selling two homes a month on your team? I do. And so quit assuming and quit forcing and create a safe space, because when they're ready to grow, you can meet them when they are, so they're ready to grow. But when they want to stay where they're at, help them stay where they're at. And then the bottom, very simple. You're coaching them up or you're coaching them out. Here's what I'm looking for in agents. You're either, your activity is high, your productivity is high. In a perfect world, I'd like to have both. But this is real estate. This is reality. So give me one of the two. If you're not productive, you better be active. Really simple stuff. All right. Let's see. Next thing. Let's go deep on this here. I think a lot of leaders struggle with leading from personality and not leading from principles. Here's what I believe is that the leaders that are leaning into this are the ones that are winning. Meaning that they're not changing their language, their behaviors, their expectations based upon your response. Oh, you kick and scream and throw a fit, and so I'm going to give in? No, I don't play that game. Leaders that are winning don't play that game. Because the reality is, I don't dictate what it takes to win. Your leader doesn't dictate what it takes to win. The marketplace does. So my job is to facilitate the environment for you to make the choice. So I have to uphold standards that I know the marketplace is required for you to win. Really, really simple stuff. not easy, but it's simple. And the sooner you step into this and the sooner that you actually draw a line in the sand and you hold people accountable to this and you lead by principles and you stop being like a teenage girl that is like going through all these emotional roller coaster as a leader or allowing your agents to get away with that, like the more, not only the more calm your life will be, but the more success you will have for yourself and for your agent. You need someone who is the lighthouse, and that's your job as a leader. All right. Let's see. Funny. There's a theme here. All right. I wrote three things down as this review of the coaching call: standards, culture, accountability. What are the standards that you have that you're enforcing? Not a goal, a standard. I believe you need three sets of standards: a cultural standard, a production standard, and an activity standard that is required to earn lead flow. Then what are you doing to reinstill your culture? By the way, culture isn't, oh, everyone's happy-go-lucky all the time. Culture is a feeling. Culture is overused and misunderstood. Do you have a culture of winning or do you have a culture of whining? You see, here's what I believe. I used to say that our environment's a family, and I've since changed to, I let everyone down in this marketplace by saying we're a family, because that means that we're going to allow you to wallow in your own bullshit. And I think you deserve better. And so we're a winning team that cares deeply for each other, because here's what I've realized is productive people are happy people. Winning is more fun than fun is fun. So develop a culture of winning, and then you'll have a lot of fun. The next is accountability. Accountability is the highest form of love you can show an individual. If you develop a standard, you uphold what the culture requires, but you don't hold them accountable, you're missing it. Accountability is the highest form of love you can show an individual. One of the forms of love that I think we forget is tough love is still love. Last time I checked, the truth is the truth, even if it hurts your feelings. But I live in truth. And the sooner you accept it, the sooner you can change it. And the sooner you change it, the sooner you get the result and the outcome that you desire. And that's what I want for you. Really simple. Next. We talked about the four-step playbook. I did a whole podcast on this, but just a reminder, here's a four-step playbook that if you follow this, you will win. It's like a loop that if you just keep going around this loop, you just can't lose. Number one, you need standards. I just talked about that. Number two, you need a playbook to the standards, a simplified one-page document, five-ish things, 3 to 7 things that if you follow this, you will reach our standard. Number three, you need accountability and a performance improvement plan process that gets people back on track to the standard when they're off standard. Because we don't just, hey, you didn't make it, you're gone. No, let's coach them up to the standard. Let's get them back on track. Active activity or productivity. If you're not productive, let's look at your activity and let's find one thing that we can obsess over to get you back on track. And number four is recruit to the new standard. There's a four-step, simple framework. Go back and listen a few weeks ago where I go super in-depth on that process, but that gets brought up over and over and over again in these coaching calls. Next, focus is a superpower. Focus is a superpower. I have coaching clients that want to talk about everything at once. And guess what happens? We get nothing done. Okay, great. That's good on that thing, Matt. What about this thing? Okay, great. What about this thing? Okay, great. What about this thing? What I've realized is that I have to do a better job of facilitating. Let's talk about less things and let's go deeper on the things that we're talking about. Instead of a mile wide and an inch deep, I want to go an inch wide and a mile deep. Let's go deeper on the things that actually move the needle and let's execute them consistently. And let's execute them at a very, very high level. And then we can move to the next thing. Instead of just moving the needle a little bit in a lot of areas, let's move the lever to find the lever that we need to pull and let's pull the shit out of it consistently. That's where you get results. Focus is a superpower. Let's see. I had one coaching client we were talking about that they have the most active listings they've ever had. They got the most pendings that they've ever had. And and they have the most agents that they've ever had. Oh, wait a minute. There's teams that are winning in this marketplace. Yep. This is a coaching sign I've had for, I don't know, a year and a half, 2 years. Dude's killing it and continues to kill it. He's open-minded. He's humble. He's coachable. And he speed implementation is his superpower. He just does the thing. So he has 34 active listings and 25 pending. Pretty phenomenal result in this marketplace. Coming from, he had, I think it was zero agents when we started coaching. And he was doing it all by himself. And so now he's at, I believe, 24 agents, something like that. So great work there. Let's see. Another thing that we talked about was finding the thing that moves the needle as a leader. We have all kinds of problems in our business, right? Like I think as team leaders, we become professional firefighters. And so instead of just listening to all the noise, let's just cut out all the bullshit and let's find out what actually moves the needle and let's go deeper on those things. This is a really big one for leaders. I want you to pay attention. What is in my life right now that I need to say no to? You see, sometimes success isn't always about adding more. It's about removing the things that don't serve you or don't move the needle. More isn't better. More is not always better, but better is always better. So instead of falling in love with hustle culture, don't get me wrong, you should work hard. But sometimes you're working hard on the wrong thing. And really, if we're being honest, it's because you're avoiding the things and you're getting busy work because you're avoiding the productive work that you don't want to do. This is a call I had today. Had a huge breakthrough in recruiting from a team. And they said, well, what I realized was I've been hesitating. I've been avoiding recruiting because I don't want to be bad at it. I worked really, really hard to get good at sales. I worked really, really hard to get good at listings. And now when I make recruiting calls, I have a recruiting appointment, I feel like a beginner again, and I don't like it. That was a huge breakthrough for them to admit it. What I asked is, what else are you avoiding right now? That if you did not avoid it and you faced it head on, the only thing that would change is everything. You know what they said? Nothing. Recruiting is the thing. Great. So what else are we talking about? Nothing. Because recruiting is the one thing that will change everything. And so let's realize that if we're not good at recruiting yet, it is simply because we have not been bad long enough. So let's remove our ego. Let's remember the mission of people we're trying to serve. And let's actually do training around it. And let's actually do the thing. Because guess what? Were you always good at listings? Were you always good at buyer's presentations? No. How did you get good? By being bad long enough and learning. The cool thing is the skills that you learn to be good at selling, working with buyers and sellers, will serve you really, really well in recruiting. And so it'll accelerate that time frame. But there's no amount of training, there's no amount of coaching, there's no amount of anything that will substitute you actually making the calls. There's no amount of training, there's no amount of any coaching that will substitute you actually having the interviews, actually having the appointments. You got to do the thing. What's cool about this person? They set 8 listing appointments this week. You know what changed? They just made a decision. I didn't give them a list to call. I didn't give them a script. Nothing new that I'd given them. The flip switched in their minds. They made a decision. And you can too. So what is the one thing that you're avoiding right now that would change everything? Let's see. We also talked about, this is a big one. Some leaders get stuck in growing other leaders. So how do you grow other leaders? Number one, be a model and demonstrate the behavior you expect at all times. The do as I say, not as I do model does not work. So you have to model and demonstrate as the leader that you want. You have to actually be and model and demonstrate the behavior you expect. Number two, this is where most people go wrong. You need to inspect what you expect. Let's set crystal clear expectations. Once we set the expectation, expectations of whatever it needs to be done, whether it's a project, whether it's a whole job description, no matter what it is, crystal clear expectations. And before you leave the meeting, you ask this question. So please repeat back to me what you heard from the conversation we just had. And here's why that's important. What I say does not matter, and what they hear is everything. What was their perception? Instead of a guessing or assuming, I'm going to ask. I'm going to ask them to repeat it back to me. And almost without fail, there's something that I said that they did not hear, or they heard something I said differently than I intended. So rather than playing this weird guessing game, we're just clear. And then after we get clear on that, we do this very, very simple thing. Okay, great. When can you have that done by? Allow them to set their own deadline and then hold them accountable to that deadline. It is their job to report to you, not your job to check in on them. If you do those things, we treat people, we teach people how to treat us. Your leadership journey will be so much better. Next, after you do that, inspect what you expect. When's the last time you spot checked? When's the last time as a team leader, you actually saw a listing appointment on one of your agent's calendars and 15 minutes ahead of time, you're like, hey, hop in with me. I'll actually drive you there. I'm going to shadow you on this listing appointment. Not to take over, not to do anything other than to observe, so that you can inspect what you expect. Find the things that they do well and find areas where maybe they can improve. Same thing with any leaders that you have. It's a game changer. All right, let's see. Next, we talked about, we had another coaching client with a win. Surprise, surprise. Had his biggest month ever in September. Biggest month ever in September. To add to that, that was 2 weeks ago. Last week, guess what happened? All-time high in pending. 40 pendings with 13 agents. So has an all-time high of pendings right now in September when the marketplace is slow. The superpower of this leader, I'll just tell you, is speed to implementation, ready, fire, aim. Just does it. Doesn't ask questions. Doesn't tell me why you can't or why it won't work. Got it. And then goes and does the thing. Really, really cool. I got another coaching client that went from 13 to 21 agents in 30 days of coaching. How'd they do that? Focus, clarity, one thing. And guess what that allowed them to do? Went to from 13 to 21 agents, but they also lost some agents that weren't upholding the standards. So we got rid of some problem children that weren't doing the work or weren't willing to do the work while he's bringing in new people. So his business is not held hostage anymore. Let's see here. I'm going to go through some more notes. I hope you guys are finding this valuable. I just wanted to do something a little different and go in depth with you guys. Let's see here. So here's something that I had a common theme on my calls today is that right now, I think it's really important that you instill, and if you're an agent listening, if you're a team leader listening, I'll talk to both of you. The quality of Christmas and the amount of gifts you have under the tree for your family are determined by the activity you do today and over the next 30 days. I think that I'm not alone in the fact that I've had some Christmases where it was a little short, if you know what I mean. Not as many gifts under the tree as I would have liked for my family, for my friends, for those people I care about. And so I just want to encourage you right now to set the tone for your team. They have the opportunity to have the best Christmas of their lives based upon the activity they do today for the next 30 days. Really, really simple. But create that urgency. Remind them of that because Christmas is coming, whether they're ready or not. And unfortunately, it's really, really hard to build momentum in this business, but they have an opportunity to do that by Christmas if they start today. So create that urgency. Get your agents back into productive action. Let's get out of summer mode. Let's get out of back to school mode. Let's get back into productive action what I would encourage you to do is have a contest around it. Have a contest around something simple as conversation. One of my favorite ways to do a contest is to go playground style. Pick a couple of informal leaders and have them pick. You do team versus team. Do it for a week. Do it for 2 weeks. And you get the team members have healthy competition and collaboration amongst themselves around who can talk to more people about real estate. They talk to more people about real estate. It's hard not to sell more real estate. So do whatever you can to motivate and inspire your team right now so that you don't have, they don't have to, and you don't have to regret what that looks like in December and January. Awesome, guys. Well, I hope this was helpful. Again, this was just a little different way of me doing this. I just thought I wanted to share what was real and relevant. Let me know your feedback on this one. Shoot me a message, leave a comment, let me know your thoughts. And also, I'm always looking for topics and ideas that you guys want to hear about because I want to be real, raw, and relevant. So whether it's you want more special guests, whether you want me to talk about certain topics, go deeper on something you've already heard me talk about, please let me know what you want to hear because I do this for you. I do this so I can help you. So let me know how I can help you. Appreciate you guys, and we'll catch you next week.